All right, I'm bringing it down early. The indicator of a great show, a stacked lineup, or the fact that we dicked around and barely have an hour left to record. Everyone, it is Papa's Basement. Michael's all apologetic.
Sorry.
You could talk over me. I got nothing to do. This is the one sphere in which I'm in control, but fine, trample my precious words. God damn you. Show's website, inpapasbasement.com. Find us on iTunes, all that stuff. If you're listening to us, you've already found us. That's simple as that.
Thank you.
Yes, we're not doing any intros anymore. This isn't a damn radio show. You weren't listening to a previous station to get here. You probably went to high school with me.
Who's on the show? What are we talking about? Give it
there
to me.
There you go.
Yeah.
We're joined today by the erstwhile. That's a word that I think works in this situation. The erstwhile, but now returned, Howard Flood. He's in. Next to, well, over on the other side of him, we have Hannah, what the hell, Mary, Hannah Mary.
That's a normal name.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's a very it's white name, normal. But yeah, Hannah Mary. You sound like someone that would jerk someone off in the back of like a 57 Chevy wearing a glove, like a debutante's glove. But yes, that is a name that
no,
was a
No, that's
thing.
Like a Caroline with like too many I's and Y's. That's a Caroline
I
Mary.
With a heart on yeah. the birth certificate, legally speaking. And we're joined by Michael Johnson, who's a super talented comic and improviser and what else do you... Everything. Slave Trader?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Let's start off there.
I met Michael through Sean Westfall, who's been on the show a bunch, and his theater. They're besties. They perform under the Sean Michaels banner.
Yeah, and not the wrestler.
No, sadly.
Sadly. Not,
yeah. How many people have seen Shawn Michaels on a bill?
And thought he would be doing improv.
Yeah.
<It's> like the wrestler.
This is the turn he took.
That would be a TMZ moment. We saw Shawn Michaels, the former WWE wrestler, doing short form improv at the DC Lounge.
Played a great Dr. Know-It-All.
His character work is actually pretty good.
So, yeah, I've been logging some time with you lately, and I was going to bring up a story to start off the show from something we were engaged in last night, which was, is it Story Corps?
The Story District.
Story District.
Story
there
District
we go.
Open mic, a monthly show every Tuesday. It used to be at the Town Dance Boutique in D.C., and I think they raised that building, as in destroyed
to
it.
To make room for
condos.
Luxury condos and a
condos.
Dispensary.
Oh, really?
So, well, I don't know. I'm just assuming. That's just how D.C. works.
Luxury dispensary.
Yeah. Hannah over here is like a pot possum, if there were such a thing, like a truffle pig. You just know all the dispensaries in the city. Like, that's how you can navigate
that
it.
That is not accurate.
It's completely accurate.
Three.
There you go. Most people know they're one.
It's more of a two and a half, but okay.
Because half of it got raised to make room for quote unquote progress. So yeah, we saw Story District last night, and I had an experience that made me think of like fat things I've done, and specifically my like kind of fattest food behaviors. And I have a lot of like horrible food behaviors. I eat poorly for the most part. I love carbs. I tend to just. People are like, well, what do you have for breakfast, lunch, and dinner? And I'm like, it just does. It's like jazz. You know, it's like a Fish concert. It just doesn't. There's no start. There's no end. It's just, it was song one. And then 6 hours later, you're like, oh, the concert's over. And I knocked up my lady. You know, like, I was chilling with you and a friend of ours.
We had plans even before we got there that we were going to go to Chinatown afterwards for China Express.
We had made explicit plans with my equally stocky, husky, whatever we want to call it, friend Joe Gagliardi, because I feel out of everyone in our little comedy posse that we've been kind of forging together, most people are focused on the show. Joe and I will text each other like girls beforehand, like you're good for Chinatown Express or Manny and Olga's Pizza beforehand. Right. We saw your benefit show for Jason Science, and we'll talk about that show in a bit. We enjoyed the show, but we walked out slightly pissed because we wanted to eat at Manny and Olga's Pizza beforehand, did not get to. And then afterward wanted to go to Chinatown Express, and we instead audibled to, Was it, guys, Amsterdam Falafel?
Yeah.
I am unaware of this location, though.
Do they have one on 14th?
It's, they do.
Yeah. It's literally you exit Black, or, yeah, Source Theater. And
do you,
you
not like falafel?
It's
love that place.
Okay, I don't like falafel and fries that cost me $16.55.
Oh, really?
With tax.
I didn't remember it being that pricey, but I guess it's been a while since.
How much did you get, though?
Like, well,
the serving sizes are pretty normal.
I got 5 falafels.
I literally got 5 falafels.
No, okay. You didn't.
No, I'm serious. Like, the small is 4 falafels, the large is 5. I believe the small is $8 and the large is $10. And then I got frites or fries, right, which were.
No, I'm an actual sandwich, 5 falafels.
Yeah, like 5 balls of falafel. And they serve it to you like TCBY style, where they're just in a yogurt cup almost. And then there's tons of like savory toppings. So you're just dumping cabbage and dumping feta on. And you make like this gross savory soft serve out of
it. Was it good?
It wasn't $16 good, dude. Like, I'm cheap enough to where that's going to weigh on my head.
Was Manny and Olga's packed after the show?
We just didn't try it because people kind of poo-pooed us. They wanted a place to sit, even though we sat for a max of 15 minutes. And point being, Gagliardi and I felt cheated on both ends.
They will let you sit. That's what I like about Manny and Olga. There is no place for you to really sit to be comfortable while you wait. Like, the wait's not long, but like there's always that same little corner. And even if you do sit there and eat on the corner, they're not going to ask you to leave.
Like, well, there are no chairs, kind of. But you can you can saddle up, cowpoke style, I guess.
I think as long as you're out of the way of the door and the register, they don't particularly care.
You could have gone to Matchbox right across the street.
I could have done anything for $17. For $17 for fries. Like, I hate when the food of the poor is co-opted, made to taste chainier and crappier, and then you pay out the ass. Like, falafel is the cheapest of cheap foods. Like, I've never been to Afghanistan or wherever falafel happens. I'm guessing it's all throughout that region. I know. But I'm guessing you literally can be like, here's a dead rat, pelt it, give me a falafel sandwich. And that exchange is cool, even in 2019.
I forget. You're Greek.
Yes.
Do you like grape leaves?
They're okay. The dolmens, dolmades.
Dolmades, something like that.
As a kid, I was kind of force-fed all that stuff, and I turned on it at some point because I wanted to be American.
I just always – that is one gamble anytime I get it with, like – it usually comes with a platter of some kind. And they're either – it's really good, or I take one bite of it, and it just falls out of my mouth.
Yeah, I rarely get them in a restaurant, so I just look for the fanciest can.
What is it about the, like, do they have a shelf life of a particular time? Like, what is it that?
I would assume fresh made would be mind bending. You know, like an actual grape leaf folded with
next
hot
day rice. Grape leaves are fairly gross. I think that's fairly straightforward.
It needs to, like,
you could call it slimy. That'd be an accurate.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Like, I mean,
that's not the best appeal to it.
No, it's very weird that we don't apply, like, burrito logic to the grape leaf. Like, Chipotle. Like, if I served you a can of little Chipotle rolls and I was like, these are, like, 6 months old, you would be like, I would not touch a Chipotle burrito later that day. Why the hell?
If the restaurateur is as cheap as you, I'm sure they're like, you can still eat it.
Yeah.
It's still edible.
And I'd be like,
please.
Fine, you sold me this time, the third time, but it won't happen again.
One more question about Greek cuisine.
Sure.
I hate to say this, but there was a place on Adams Morgan one afternoon, and I really wanted a cup of coffee, and I went into this Greek place and got a cup of coffee, and it was the weirdest, most unsatisfying cup of coffee I'd ever had in my life.
Was it the standard, like, Law and Order Greek diner cup with, like, the Greek key around the top?
I think so, but it was like there was a I can't even describe the taste. It just tasted.
They make a lot of bad food, like Greek wine, right? Ancient Greek wine. I got a classics dude right here that was known for, like, they would mix like hints of tar in and stuff like that. Like, it was horrible.
I don't know, man. Like, I drink a lot of wine now.
Yeah.
Greek wine is pretty good. It's a nice deal. Yeah.
Okay.
It's fair. Cause
I'm happy to hear that. Cause I know the recipes that they've pulled for, like, ancient Greek wine, by any modern measure are disgusting.
They also used piss to clean because that's the closest thing to bleach they had then. So, like, they really? Worked with, yep.
They wanted to save a penny then, and I'm cool with that.
Well, it's like you can clean something with piss because it's, what's it? What's the word? Sterile. So oh, you can clean
something.
I was
gonna say delicious, and then we had our topic.
Urine is sterile?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's why you're supposed to pee on a wound or something. Like, it's all you had back then.
I thought you peed on a baby for good luck.
I also know a lot about a lot of other stuff, too. So I don't want to just be the, like, piss person.
No. This has become your ring now. I remember I had a biology teacher, Mr. Wolf, that had, like, a vial or a beaker of, I guess you'd call it, surgical piss for the class.
Really?
And he did a speech on how it was sterile. And then he dipped his finger in. And touches it to his tongue.
Why are all bio
entire,
teachers fucking weird?
I don't know. I mean, I guarantee you
I had
that
him
was
too.
His piss. I guarantee you that was his piss. We all know it.
Because the thing is, like, you didn't do what happened in my class. My because we didn't have it the same period, but in my period, somebody said, whoa, can I drink that? And then he flipped down the person like, no, you could get very sick if you have too much of it. He was just very upset that somebody leveled up and was just like, that's awesome. Can I drink your piss?
Was he the hobo in Kingpin asking Woody Harrelson if it was okay to drink this?
That's one of my favorite all-time lines in a movie.
Like, even if it's your own?
Roy, is it okay to drink piss?
I don't think so.
Even if it's your own? I was just watching that movie last week, and that opening scene runs in my head probably on a weekly basis.
That movie is an all-timer. You caress your rubber hand with a bending ring on it. Oh, my God. Those Farrellys, man, I swear to Christ, just kind of fell off the face of the earth, actually. I know the one dude produced Green Book, but...
What was that? Was that the HBO?
No, that was the one with Viggo Mortensen and
Mahershala Ali.
That's it.
Well, did you see the last project Greenlight? I think they did.
No,
they were supposed. Peter Farrelly was, I guess, the mentor for whoever they picked, and he actually had a script ready for this guy to do, and somehow he ended up. The guy, the winner, ended up talking his way into using a short that he had produced and making it a full-length feature.
Oh,
and
great.
He talked Peter Farrelly and everyone else into it.
Sure, this went well.
No, none of it went well. The movie had no arc.
Okay.
It was a train wreck.
What was it?
It was a movie about a guy, I think like a rich guy getting married, and then his off-the-walls crazy brother comes.
Oh, it was
to
Arthur,
it.
Too. That was a bad movie. That was a horrible movie.
If you
movie.
Can check it out, it's worth I followed the last season, and it was, yeah.
I might do that. I have HBO Go, and I've run out of anything I could possibly want to watch. I've caught up on Game of Thrones. You can only watch The Wire and Sopranos so many times, so sure. Project Greenlight, let's do it.
I don't think anyone that's won that has actually gone
no.
on to a career.
No.
You want to be the second or third. Those are the ones who do the best, like at any given time.
Oh, it's like winning The Voice, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Who's done
second
that?
Or third. Like, Kelly Clarkson won the first one, and she's that's the true. Only one yeah. since then. And I kind of like how she's been,
no,
like, Midwestern fit
Carrie,
this whole time.
You'd Carrie Underwood. She's the biggest.
Carrie Underwood won American Idol?
Yeah.
She's the new,
five-ish.
Like... She's the new, like, football, like, siren.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, and then yeah, they're yeah. going to Faith Hill her and shoot her through the back of the skull at some point. And...
They got clones. It's okay. Faith, they made...
Faith Hill got shot through the back of her head.
you know, NBC doesn't F around, yeah.
Country music mafia.
Yeah. Memphis mafia, yeah. Elvis style.
You have done enough.
I feel like the Memphis Mafia, like, would kind of, like, limit themselves, like, once they're outside. Like, I feel like New York would, like, follow you, or Chicago, they'd follow you to where
yeah,
you're
no.
Memphis would be like, ah, that's
the
county line.
The South
line.
Just wants to rule the South.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's the county line. We can't go any farther.
My roommate has the country music channel on most of, like, the
So
weekend.
You live well.
Yeah, yeah. But I have come to find, like, modern country music is probably my least favorite kind of genre.
Mm-hmm.
And I was walking around all weekend trying to think of, like, who does this? It sounds like one continuous Uncle Cracker song.
Nice.
Just like,
but I like Uncle Cracker. That one song from Uncle Cracker, yeah, which I don't even need to say.
I don't. They're, yeah, I have nothing. I have nothing against him, but it is the whole genre of music is they're like partially auto-tuned.
Yeah, that's the weird almost hip hop thing that's kind of happened to it lately.
They've been trying and failing horribly because the ones that do best at least know this is my country album. Now I'm doing a more poppy album, like T Swift for the most part. Someone has a hilarious video of explaining why country is just so like repetitive, and he had like 8 different songs and it's the same thing. It's like, girl, wearing those jeans and your truck and your beer. It's like, that is 8 different songs just interspliced, and it's the funniest thing I've seen. Like,
you know, pop country is bad. I mean,
it's not good.
You, Howard, was a big listener to it back in the day and kind of got me listening to it, maybe early 2000s type stuff.
To pop country or just, you know, some of the deeper.
Well, no, I knew the good stuff classics already, like Hank and Johnny and Merle and that stuff that I think a lot of city people kind of almost point to listening to. Like, I don't hate, you know,
I don't hate red country. I actually got a heavy dose of it in my like 19 or 20. I was George Strait.
Okay.
Alan, Texas Tornado guy.
Alan Keyes, black porn star Alan Keyes.
Yes. That's right.
Are you talking about Alan Jackson?
Alan Jackson. Yeah.
Alan Jackson. Brooks.
Capitalized
on
9/11. It's a good way to make money.
Yeah.
Remember. Freedom cost a buck.
Did we come back to country names or port names? Are we still there? I don't know where we got back on.
Okay. That would be an interesting project. Get porn stars to sing old country hits.
That'd be great. Oh, like just a bunch of naked Jolenes. Like,
right. Yeah, that would be dope.
That'd be fantastic.
They have to sing like sexified, like in racing.
I think they have to give their most earnest effort.
Okay.
That could be fun. Like, that'd be, I think they'd be down.
So just like, it's the day after a shoot, the Cialis has left their system, like, they're mm-hmm. they're coming down
they're
off
the DMT.
They're
allowed to sing whenever
they
want.
To make a good country song, you just need 3 chords and the truth. And I feel like you can get a lot out of porn stars with that. That'd be great.
That's a
and
great.
And your dog in a box.
Like, I forget where I heard that, but it's just like, yeah, no, that's kind of like the main differentiation between, like, old school, like country that has, like, lasted. And, like, mm-hmm. I get frustrated, too, when people say, like, oh, music's, you know, like everyone says that about everything, but like I don't remember a lot of top hits from 1977. But like, there's a reason certain songs stick out for decades and decades because they're good. The bad stuff just kind of like falls to the wayside, like it always does. I don't remember what was really big 2 years ago.
And yet, there's been over a decade of this show. So yeah.
That's a really good
timeless.
Point.
There's you're sterile.
I am
you're
audio
good
piss.
And sterile and good.
Audio piss.
I am ear piss.
That's a good point, though. There should be a lot of good country music coming out of the porn industry.
I would. What would be a good record name for that, though? Like, what would be like the record title? Like, you know, there's like
Willie sucked a lot of cock. I mean,
yeah.
No, you just the storylines. You know, like
cock writers. Like that'd be fun.
Broken
like,
hearts.
Yeah.
It could be just called Reverse Cowgirls.
Reverse Cowgirl.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
There you go.
The reverse.
That was just a bunch of naked like Dolly Parton Jolene's. Like that'd be great.
So legit, there really is a stripper karaoke in Portland, Oregon.
Oh man,
really?
Oh, that's so far.
Yeah, so that's really. I mean, it's the sort of
that's
thing
Portland
that,
strippers.
Wait,
though.
Is that
that's
just
the
a,
stripper
that's
capital?
That's a poor
of the
person
world.
Burlesque show. Like that's what that's stripper karaoke really? Is. Poor people burlesque.
I'm just saying, if you want to try this idea out, you can't just like go to Porn Valley and say, "Hey guys,
yeah,
we got an idea." You got to workshop it,
right.
And I can't think of a better place.
Well, you could
Portland
do it,
is really the...
You could drum it up like the momentum of, like, American Idol. Like, you know, get the buzz going. That
oh, they'd be but psyched.
They are looking for the NBC. Next country music star from the porn industry.
Yeah.
That would
way
be
out.
So niche and so fun.
No, everyone would jump on that. I mean,
but you got to write your own songs. You can't.
I think that'd be good. Again, like just they can. I could probably hear a lot of tales of sorrow.
No, like literally, there's no porn star that wouldn't jump on that. Yeah. Like you grow up singing into your brush, not sticking it in your ass.
Like,
you know?
And plus, porn star longevity is much shorter than it used to be, just because you can literally pump out
true.
So much more content, like online. Like if we
oh,
really
it's
wanted
crazy.
To, yeah. So women and men don't need to be in it.
I started doing porn to break into country music.
It's called the backdoor method, and backdoor, here I am.
I know.
The costumes are still the same.
Nashville's like, there is a certain type showing up these days.
Every porn star legitimately does like a Tupac's worth of material, and most of them just leave after a
couple
years. You
don't need any more. Like, that's it. You can just profit off that, get your residuals, and then just do whatever you please. Like, most are like, yeah, I only need to work 2 to 3 years, maybe, and that's on their schedule, and then you can, like, you know, liberate yourself, be more creative with your lyricism.
There are sites now that I remember looking at in the late 90s, and they've never been taken down because why
would
they?
I like how you just have that index.
Yeah. Look up nometro.com/Megan.
You just like your head did the Sherlock thing where he's like thinking deep inside and like going through his little memory
castle.
That's
gotta be. I was looking at those sites in the late 98, 99, I guess.
Pretty much my head when it comes to porn is like Galifianakis at the blackjack table in the Hangout.
I just remember being in those chat rooms trying to trade just one picture, and then it like,
yeah, I'm 14 too. What's up?
it would print out on a doc matrix printer. And it's like so loud, you know, like you're just worried about like you
waking
what are
up the
printing
family
off in there.
But then, like, I think that would also, I think, cater to, like, people that get off on the fear of it.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a whole, like, rush of the score, like, buying drugs.
Oh, one of those experiences I had when I was 13, 14, and I'm like, oh, sexuality's here. Awesome. This is cool.
You were IM'd by Michael Johnson 6 times.
No. What I did find was the girl equivalent, my argument is most women don't really watch porn because it's like, all right, we don't really know how vaginas work yet, but we do know what fan fiction is, and we do know when you read a certain paragraph, you're like, oh, I gotta sit weird now. Ooh, boy.
Jumped in my seat a lot.
I remember I found one, and I'm like, this is great. I want to keep it. Like, you know, tabs with, like, porn and stuff, but I'm like, I could just print it out, and then I don't need to worry about the like refreshing the website anymore, or, like clearing my browser history. My dad worked from home, and that's where the only printer was.
Oh no!
So while he was in a meeting once, I decided to print off 20 pages.
Oh, you little
very, very erotic Harry Potter fan fiction.
Wow!
Because again, 13 or 14, and I just remember the like pure fear of like. Oh no! Some kind of aria of pain from like hell was just playing, and I was able to get rid of it. Like I knocked on the door, I'm like, "Dad, I'm printing out an essay." My dad's like, "All right, fine." And then he's like talking on the phone, and I'm behind him watching these pages come out, like trying to block the view from it. And he's just like, "How much did you write?" I'm like, "It's a bit." It's a bit,
all right.
I want an A!
What is Harry Potter porn fiction?
You can do a lot of stuff with wands and magic.
Was it graphic?
Oh,
was
yeah.
It wasn't like middle school, like...
No. It was like...
Pomeranicus, yeah.
Yeah, like erogenous zones were mentioned. Like,
oh, wow. Okay.
Like, it's just like, they just full-on said, like clit and things like that. They didn't say like throbbing member. It's like, no, that's a dick, that's a penis. I'm like, all right, it helped me paint a picture in my head. That is also still very much archived.
Did the twins double team anyone?
Yes.
No.
Not in that one, but yeah, for sure.
God.
Like, I assure you, if there was fan fiction of it, I have read it, like in depth.
Wow.
It was not a good, yeah, it was great. And then I also found them like ages later when I was leaving high school. I'm like, no, we got to burn this shit.
You didn't write it, did you?
No. I tried once and I'm like, fucking, no, what's wrong with me? Like, I just looked at my hands going, we're not this. Like,
I can see Howard doing some next generation stuff.
Ooh, that'd be fun.
Yeah.
I've been talking with the band. We've been trying to come up with the next album concept. Mm-hmm. And so I do want to have just an album of songs about Next Generation episodes. And obviously, you got to have the one where Data bangs Tasha Yar. Like, that's a legit episode.
God, I forgot that. I haven't seen all of them. That's crazy.
I am a fully functioning Android in every way.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Ew, that happened?
Oh, yeah. That was back when Roddenberry was in control of the script. So it was super weird the first 2 seasons.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Fanfiction.net is still up. I can see how many are written of whatever pairing anybody
I'd like
wants.
To hear
Find some LA Law ones.
LA, okay.
What, LA Law?
LA Law.
I remember my folks loved that show. And hearing my mother one night go, it's just about sex now. It's not even about the case.
Is justice ever to be served? Oh my god.
Let me see what Star Trek Next Gen. Let's see what they got. There are currently, oh, that's concerning, 345 for the new Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Okay.
Mm.
Ooh, I'll watch that tonight. Some good stuff. That is crazy satanic, that new Sabrina.
Oh, I love it. It's great. Okay. I love it. Put the Satan back in Satanism.
That's what it's like mad satanic.
Because like, it's great too, because like I grew up Catholic, so like by proxy we kind of have to know all the other stuff. And like Satanism is kind of cool because like,
what,
Satan
just in
can't
case
do,
you're wrong on your deathbed.
Yeah, exactly. Like Hazis. It's like, you were gay, bisexual, technically straight, Lemmian. But like, I love the premise of Satan doesn't force you to do anything. You have to agree to it. So the whole thing is just huge. Yep. Satan does not ever make you, which is like the fallacy of man and yada, yada, yada. More hot teens doing stuff. So again, I completely understand that the fan fiction is back up.
You don't even need an IM handle for it.
Miami, bro. Yeah. 69.
I guess that's why all the folklore, like people are.
The seduced by it, yeah.
Yeah, bartering with.
And it's kind of like, oh, hey, I'm starving and my family's dying. Right. I need to make a deal. It's like,
don't you want two burlap dresses?
Exactly.
Or I'm
Satan voice. Wait, which one are we looking for? Star Trek Discovery?
Howard, what would be the weirdest Star Trek?
Next Gen. There are 4,500 of Star Trek The Next Generation.
That's about the number I figured.
These are just erotic stories?
Well, they don't have to be, no. These are just...
Oh, fan fiction.
Yeah, so we can make it erotic. Hold on, let me get the...
I mean, when you start to get into the non-humanoid species, I think that's where people will get a little creepy with the stuff.
Or
so.
It also, again...
You don't want to see a Ferengi eat box.
That's the concern. You don't want to, like...
Those little ears peeking out.
Don't you ever, like, read a fan fiction and then just go... Or this is me. I was like... Good, that didn't awaken anything. Good, 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 good.
Or like Data falls in love with like the garbage disposal.
That would be great.
Just banging an R2-D2.
Oh my god!
What are you doing? I'm in love.
Oh god. And they would have like weird robot sex. Like it wouldn't totally be like literally.
That's
just, like,
the kind of
little,
fiction I want to.
Yeah,
say,
like just this little port is connected, and he's immediately like, and you're like, oh god, what is Robo?
They try to get him to feel love, and it just goes wrong in every way.
Why like did you curse me to feel?
He's only
like stuck on the side of the ship with like his cock in like the gas tank.
Why would he even have a dick though? What? If he's an android.
Oh, that's true. Well, you have to. It's just their frame of reference. They don't know how else to build build love.
Look, he's just all scat play.
What did you program? I didn't. I just.
Just this big robot mouth with a log in it.
Well, like on Terminator, Terminator's not an android, or is he? Like,
yeah,
because they gave him like a
no.
Full-on,
he's
like,
a robot. He's an endoskeleton with a skin.
Yeah, no, that's
kind
true.
Of over.
That's
him.
True. Someone had to make the skin of like his body, and like they're like, we want this Terminator to have a butt. We want this Terminator to
oh,
have
yeah.
sex.
They're supposed to. Well, I think what's funny is he's supposed to be undetectable, except for the fact he's like a
massive,
thousand goddamn pounds.
Yeah.
Like, he's like solid whatever alloy.
It's kind of like some would say the Ubermensch, and they just drop him naked, and then they're like, I'll figure it out.
Did you guys ever watch the Sarah Connor Chronicles?
Did not.
So it was almost like a Terminator of the Week type show, but I'll watch anything Terminator related, so I watched
still,
it.
Oh, wow.
And there were like... these Terminators that had supposedly like married people, and I'm like, you never noticed when he banged you that he crushed you or that the bed like the
carbon fiber
the toilet broke when he sat down on it. I mean,
carbon fiber,
I guess
the only thing that knows is carbon fiber if it's busted, and if you've ever seen busted carbon fiber, it just looks like a cloud, kind of just a so like if he truly broke and then just looked like a cloud, she'd be like, oh, oh, that's weird.
Well, Data's just shitting in his mouth.
What are you writing? I'm getting there. There's a story here.
Just let it flow.
That'd be amazing. Like, Data does all these micro computations. Like, he's a supercomputer, and he concludes the best orgasm.
I think the Terminator
just taking a shit.
I think the Terminator would be really vanilla, where, like, I feel like the androids would be really, like,
just
crossing, crossing a lot of wires.
Almost like Hellraiser, just like exploring the depths.
I wonder if there's. Wait, let me see if there's any Hellraiser fan fiction.
By my calculations. Get away from my face.
Just all Cleveland steamers. Just zero G.
I wonder if it's going to add the whole series or just the one.
So back to my fat moment.
Manny and Olga's.
Yeah, Manny and Olga's. So we were in an intermission, and I had been, again, crowing the whole night about, like, yeah.
There are 309 Hellraiser fanfictions available.
The
so.
Sound is like scat through flesh.
But continue. ripping. Slapping, ripping. Okay.
So, I wouldn't, you know, we had planned this. Like, as much as I was psyched to see a show with this comedy posse, I was also like, we're going to eat afterward. And everyone at the table knew it, even though most of them weren't joining in. I was like, Chinatown Express, Chinatown Express. That's my song, I said. And then at intermission, I was like, all right, dudes, like, Mike leaves to burn one. And I'm like, all right, I'm just going to get some pizza. And, like, even my bigger friend turns to me, he's like, dude, you said you're doing, like, Chinatown Express in, like, 1 hour. I was like, yeah, that's an hour from now.
What hold does that place have on you? Like, I know, is it just tradition?
It is pretty,
like,
good. That was the
second, like,
time.
It's not bad. Like,
year.
I've had a couple. Yeah. Like, it's totally fine. Like, but is it just, like, so, like, habitual? Because I remember, because we got, after your show, I saw you perform, and I saw you. After the show, we stopped by to pick up your pickup order, and then you ate it in the car, and you kept saying, I'm sorry, while you were eating. Like, I'm sorry you have to see this. And I'm a little bit of a altered state of mind, so I don't care. I'm like, all right. And you gave me some, and I shared, and that was great. But yeah, I just remember you just kept apologizing, but not stopping. Just to get started, you have to see this.
That's also any sex I've ever had.
That would be the sound of Hellraiser fanfiction. You just eating Chinese food like a starved man.
Oh, well, the thing about last night too is that you came back so quickly. I thought you just decided not to get the pizza. That was my first thought. I was like, I wonder if there was a massive line trying to get into Manny and Olga's at intermission.
I went to Manny and Olga's. I learned that they wouldn't even feed me a single slice, which was the goal.
Really?
Why
I had
not?
To get
That's
a jumbo slice, which is two slices in one.
No, it's not. It's just one big bite. Like a five.
Well,
pizza.
No, like an actual DC jumbo slice. Yeah.
Yeah,
is like this, like,
yeah,
you could fly
a
child
it's
to the moon
very
with it
big.
As a kite. Yeah.
Yeah.
This was, they did like a ghetto thing where it was pretty much just two slices together, like uncut. And I was just like, oh, well, wasting it's a sin, right? There's kids in Africa and everything. And so I plowed the majority of it into my yap hole. And then I threw like maybe this much crust, like a third of the crust into the trash. And I was like, that shows restraint.
Right.
And then I came back up and was ready to eat with you guys a couple hours later. But I felt extremely fat, especially the mixing of cultures made it a little shadier to me. If I just had some egg rolls and then more egg rolls later. But
we threw it in pork buns.
Oh, we
so
were.
You went from a continent that eats zero cheese to eating exclusively cheese, and what would that do to a man?
Also, like, my recently discovered lactose intolerance. Don't forget that.
Oh, you can
recently
just have the lactate.
Discovered?
Yes. I pretty much thought I had bowel cancer the last several years, yet didn't go to the doctor because that would involve something in the butt. And I just somehow put it together finally. I was like, wait, you just eat cheese all the damn time.
Oh, wow.
And I skipped it for a day or two, and I was like, oh, I'm suddenly not in constant agony anymore. And
oh,
I,
man,
the sad part of that, I'll still eat cheese like three times.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, like,
yeah.
When was the last time you had cheese?
Earlier today, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's all about quantity management. That's why I'm like, I totally get getting a slice of pizza and then doing Chinese later, because I used to just get pizza and then more pizza.
Yes.
Then I realized that's bad because I'm half Asian. So
It's not, yeah, if you can't handle cheese. I mean, for whatever reason, however the different prep is for ice cream, maybe because it's not, the temperature is never elevated. I don't know, but like.
I have a guy who works in an ice cream shop. I can really? Get some, You're I can actually ask me? Right now. Okay. I can ask right now. What's the question?
That so the milk that just eviscerates me is ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can actually have normal milk and not too much happens. But if you feed me, and trust me, I'll take it, like a big serving of ice cream,
oh my gosh.
I will be riding the lightning for several really? Hours afterwards.
Okay,
yeah.
So you can drink, because I can drink milk too, but like if I have cheese, then my face just turns into what it is currently. So like.
Oh, no. Yeah, milk isn't, like I do the lactaid milk, and my mom like really quickly discovered lactaid ice cream.
Yeah,
because
I had to get that from my daughter.
Her baby boy needs it. Oh, your kid's already, you know, they're like lactose intolerant or whatever?
We're not supposed to have milk, like as a species.
I know.
We also like drank and smoked way more in the 40s, so it's like that's why grandma could have steak and milk because she lived to be like 50. So.
Oh, I thought they kind of ate better than we did.
No way.
It was from the farm though.
No
way.
No, it's way grosser. Like if I was to go back in time, that's a big issue for hypothetical time travelers. A big issue would be we could not, which was a time turner where Harry could go back in time and keep fucking different people in different scenarios. Don't bring these memories
take that,
back
Hitler.
Up. Like that's my repressed memories. Nothing that physical damage to me, just like general psychological sexual psyche. But if we were to go back 50 years from now, we would all get very sick because just standards of upkeep for food are way different. So each year it gets cleaner and cleaner. But if I was to go back like 80 years ago, I would just die. Like there's too much shit in there where our stomach's like, this is literal shit we're eating. Like this is not.
So the falafel guy would make it with his wiping hands.
Literally wiping hands.
Okay. Wow.
Don't use that lefty.
Okay. Well, thankfully I'm not going to time travel. Didn't plan on it.
I don't know. It's hit or miss because I don't think feeder lots work the way that they do today. I mean, I love eating beef, but understanding like how mechanized it is today and just the machinery that goes into.
Ooh, but we were raised on that though. So, like, maybe that might be it.
I mean, that's part of it, but there's problems with food today. I know, like, if you go back 50 years, everybody's like, hey, Wonder Bread, like, that's all I need. Like, I don't need fiber, you know? That's.
No, I know what you're saying. Like, I picture farms 100 years ago where it was almost like murdering your wife. Like, you were just kind of like, kiss the cow while slitting its throat. Like, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Oh, they didn't care. They just killed him.
Yeah. It's messed up. Yeah, there was a girl I used to work with who grew up on a farm or something, and I was like, do you not eat meat? And she's like, no, I eat it all the damn
time. That's the difference, because I know friends that went to like a farming tech like down the south, and there's two types of people who work in that industry with food. One half is like, I want to be as humane as possible. How can we efficiently and quickly breed chickens but not over, do this, yada, yada. But then the other half is like, how can I kill as many chickens as fast as possible and watch it happen? Like, there's no in between. There's either very like, we got to protect the animals, or there's like, how can we slaughter them as quick?
That's the guy that does dirty jobs. What's his name?
Mike Rowe.
Mike Rowe. He has a whole TED talk on how he castrated a goat.
And with his teeth.
Well, I was going to say it was a joke. Are you kidding me?
It's the least painful.
And the whole.
Why? Because you kiss it afterward?
The whole crux of the talk is that he wanted to do it more humane, he thought. Do you remember, like, how they did?
They did it before. They would just. Do I really? Okay, now I'm the piss person and goat testes person. All right. So they would.
Share your expertise with the world.
I have a lot of really useful expertise, and this is not one that's in my brain. Before they would just twist it and just wait for it to fall off.
Right.
Like we would do with umbilical cords, but this is like an organ, so it's horrible. So the teeth way, they're like, it just goes chomp and it's done.
Right.
Done. It stings for like a second and then it's kind of like over it.
But that's nuts or his dong?
Just the nuts.
Okay. You gotta be able to pee.
Yeah.
Everybody pees.
But what if you're hungry?
Mike, you were just the balls.
Do you think some farming tech students like, wait, what?
just big Teddy Roosevelt.
Should I bite off the balls too now? Or doesn't really matter.
Can I keep the goat a eunuch?
Just get away from it.
But yeah, that's the yeah.
So yeah, he what was the more humane way though? He wanted to do it.
I think the teeth way was the humane way. Like that was just like the way that standard like farms do not let you do certain things. Like a lot of farms want chickens to be outside in the open, But if you're run by Monsanto or you have a contract, you have to do what they say, which is like keep him in a tiny dark room. And
oh, yeah,
have
a little shit pen. Yeah.
But what he realized is what he thought was the humane way was ultimately the more painful one for the goat. The way the farmer was doing it, I guess after he tied up his nuts and let him go, like the goat was fine and just kind of back in action and doing. And when he asked to do it, quote unquote, the more humane way, I guess, biting off his nuts. Which,
oh, it's the other way. That's because it's just like imagine tying your own genitals and just waiting for
them to stop off. Yeah, I think it was the biting the biting the nuts was
the humane way. Because, yeah, then it's like the goat's like, the fuck? And then it's
so
it's
he humane. Was like, hey, let me just tie it up. And so he tied up the nuts, and then the goat was just in agony and kind of like laying down and couldn't do anything.
Because, like, it has nerves and everything. It's not like when, like, if you're born with like six fingers, like they just tie rope off and it falls off pretty quickly for the most part. Or like your umbilical
cord. Like a Rottweiler's tail.
Yeah, it's just like real quick, that's fine because there's joints and it just closes itself. But like nerves and whatnot, it's like, oh, that sounds excessively more fucked up than it needs to be to do it that way. Seems unneeded.
So yeah, his point was like, you know, these farmers do know something what they're doing.
I guess, yeah. I'm just such a pussy. Like, I don't want to think about animals killed, but then, so I don't order meat, but you guys were grabbing, like, pork buns and pork egg rolls. I'm like, oh, this is like a found dollar bill, you know? Like,
someone else does it for you.
Pretty much, yeah. I'm a huge hypocrite. I'm the world's shittiest vegetarian. Yeah.
Just a vegetarian out of laziness. Like, I don't want to eat them. I can eat an apple as an apple.
I don't want the blood on my hands, but if someone, like, I've eaten with people and they're like, oh, should we get the pizza half pepperoni for you? I'm like, nah, you might want to take home a slice. I don't even want to fuck up 1/8 of your pizza. Just
I'm the opposite. I would rather know where my meat came from instead of like, hey, grocery store, I trust you, Walmart. Thank you for food that I assume just had the worst life ever.
No, yeah. Absolutely. Okay, sure. Yeah, fair enough.
Just because, like, yeah, no, sorry. I mentioned on the show before, I think, but my dad grew up on a cattle ranch, so I do at times have an opportunity to get meat from the people who raised it. And that's
and
way...
is it, like, magically better meat?
It is.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, it's just, it's for a lot of reasons, because, like, again, they don't spend, like, the back half of their lives on a feeder lot. Mm-hmm. Like, they actually live full lives, like, out free to roam. Like, I mean, yes, you can technically buy, you know, free range beef now, right? But the thing is, when you can actually, when you know the butcher, basically, there's also something about having that quick access after it's been slaughtered.
You don't have to stick your head up the cow's ass. You can take the butcher's word for it.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, it's just...
yeah.
But having,
no,
like,
it's got to be your bull.
Like, a freshly killed animal does taste, like, way better. Like, my friend has a, like, chickens just in her property. And I stayed the night, and the next morning she's like, oh, do you want some eggs? I'm like, sure. And she goes out, and just, she's like, oh, these came out this morning. And it's so much better and so different than any other kind of egg I've ever had before. It just looks different. My sister lives on a farm now, and she can't eat, like, American chickens here because she's like, that's the size of a baby, this chicken breast. It should not. It should be, honestly, a chicken breast should be the size of, like, a smartphone for the most part. Anything more than that, and it's kind of like Frankenstein-y.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
The best meat to me has always been when I've been able to, like, wear the carcass while I'm eating it.
That's always a good one. Like, leather boots? Yeah, this thing had to go through death and fire to be in my feet? Awesome. I love that.
You did the Tom Green bit from Freddy Got Fingered, where he's wearing the deer skin. Such an underrated film. Such an underrated film.
I never saw that one.
You've missed out,
it
sir.
It was on Comedy Central on repeat, like, I feel like.
You are speaking the comedy language without the letter E. That's what I say to you.
If we went back and just put together all the audio of you talking about Freddy Got Fingered, I think we have
like
more.
Hours, yeah.
Yeah, it'd be like longer than the movie itself.
Yeah.
Like,
oh,
you
God,
have a ton.
Yeah. You'd have The Stand if you put all that together.
Like, I hate telling you this now. I've never seen it because I'm just like, I don't know. If I just come to the studio enough, John will just talk about it till
yeah,
I understand the whole
stupid movie.
It's
amazing. It's got Rip Torn. Is it Julie Haggerty from Airplane? Like, it's just
Rip Torn was like in everything.
Yeah, and he killed in everything. But you see Rip Torn's bare ass at one point. I mean, you can't. Then Shaq's got a cameo. Shaq.
That makes it good.
Yeah. I know that there's, like, the – don't people laugh and, like, the joke is Shaq's got a huge penis. Well, he's wearing, or I'm sorry, small penis, like a freakishly tiny penis for his size. But he's like wearing spandex with fake nipple rings in at the end of this. And like, you can see he's got a huge Shaq proportionate dick. Like what you'd expect Shaq's dick to be. It's everything.
It was probably in his contract to do that movie. He's like, all right, if we're going to make small dick jokes.
If I'm going to play with the Lakers again. Yeah.
He's like, at the end, I need to
be a star.
There is no Freddy Got Fingered fan fiction. So you'd have to be the original Genesis.
This world deserves to die then. We really are in a cesspool.
But there are five for Face Off. So
okay.
Yes. Nicolas Cage.
Yes. Where his face comes off and it's on Nick Cage. And what John can do for Freddy Got Fingered, I can do for Face Off.
Oh, me too. I was obsessed with it. Yep, Patrice O'Neill. We were talking about Patrice O'Neill.
Yeah.
Patrice O'Neill does a huge Face Off bit.
Oh, does he?
On Opie and Anthony. Yeah. Oh, dig that up.
I have to check that out.
Oh, that's so good.
Oh, there's 3,500 for Fast and the Furious. So they also have 10 movies. So
it's yeah.
We should all write fan fiction and bring it in.
Just as a homework assignment? Yeah.
Can we pick what genre? Can we do cross-post? Yeah. Like Harry Potter fucks like Data? Like what? Can we
do? No, keep it pure.
Okay.
What does it have to be? Like it has to be like somehow connected to the original piece?
No.
It just, I guess just all original characters,
yeah. You have to use the characters involved.
So
you have to
use
the universe.
Star Wars Christmas special?
Yeah. My favorite thing in hindsight was like reading one and then it devolving into authors self-inserting themselves into the piece. And one was like a woman like seduced the Phantom of the Opera because that was also on the list.
Wow.
And then she brought him to Barnes & Noble and they read manga together. And I'm like,
oh my gosh.
I'm like, oh, I feel like you've taken this out of 1890s.
How long do you keep with this? Hands. Like, how long are they?
They can be, there's two types. There is ongoing and then completed. So the ongoing ones suck because some people just drop it. It's kind of like ghosting everyone. And I'm just like, but where does Harry get the condom? Come on.
You know what? People always get on men for the weird shit we jack to. That's 100 times more.
I think the main difference is like because it's all just written. Like we can hide it better. Like me on my phone on the set. Like no one's really reading when I'm, you know.
Yeah,
compared to like
you're just randomly crossing and uncrossing your legs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like she's shifty.
Yeah, and you're done on the red line.
Yeah, exactly.
Is there like a Stephen King of fan fiction?
Oh, for sure.
It's just some Cujo meets peanut butter.
No, I meant like somebody that is like, I don't know.
Oh yeah, there is the longest current piece of media ever is this fan fiction about Super Smash Bros. That's been going on since its inception until now.
Super
and it's longer
Smash?
Than War and Peace, the Game Boy
Nintendo game.
Yeah, the Nintendo game. It is the longest fan fiction. It's longer than War and Peace in terms of word count, and I think it's still going.
Wow.
So
I just now I want to do a Family Matters fan fiction where Urkel takes his head out of his ass and fucks Myra and her giant rack. He was always about Laura Winslow and he was a dipshit. Myra had it going
You could get a good country song out of that too.
Don't you have to use the word colored? You don't.
Oh, the longest fan fiction is Super Smash Bros. It's currently in progress, and it has 3,548,615 words as of...
Wow.
Oh, this was 2013, so it could still be going.
Don't you want to just format that guy's computer?
No, because like this is nice, because as creeped out as I get by it, I'm like, you know what, they're... in a home, in front of a computer, and not in public with, like, weapons or something. Like,
but it just takes
contained.
That one break. It just, like,
these
Nintendo
are not,
cancels the series.
I think I could take on a fan fiction writer. Like, I'm not that big. I think I could beat up an adult fan fiction writer, for the most part.
I thought the most successful fan fiction piece was 50 Shades of Grey.
That it was.
Oh, was it?
That was a fanfic thing?
Off of Twilight,
yeah.
Oh, really?
Wait.
They just changed the names and made it modern day, like, normal people.
So now she got mad rich off just being a weirdo.
Yeah,
so
she
wait,
did.
Twilight was bondage-y?
Yep. No, the fan fiction she wrote was based on Twilight, and that
and
was
bondage-y.
And then she just changed the location and the names, and da-da-da.
I've heard,
That's
I've
it.
Never read it. Like, it's apparently, like, very soft BDSM, so it's kind of wussy.
No, not real. Or what is it, are we talking 50 Shades, or
yeah.
Twilight? It's, she keeps, I hate when,
what
like,
chapter
erotic...
did the anal plug start?
That's okay, the thing is, the Beyblade one. The one that's the most frustrating is, like, fan fiction writers or like erotic writers will do this thing where they won't call genitals like their names, they'll just be like, he touched me there. I'm like, so every time they say there, I just think elbow, because I'm like, you're not telling me otherwise.
This is one of the few principled stands I ever took in my life. I think the girl was using fake photos, though, so that's how I managed to do it. But when I first did Tinder, there was a smoke show that was talking back and forth with me, and she referred to her snapper as her sex.
Yeah, no, that's someone who has read Harry Potter fan fiction.
Okay. That's a Russian.
It was horrible.
Like a Russian man.
Yeah, exactly. The bot.
Were you just hoping, like, are you like, all right, I know it's probably not, it's probably a dude, but you were just holding out hope that this was going to work out.
Oh, God, yeah. I'm not going to say I got catfished one time when I was younger because, like, no money was exchanged and it went on for about 2 weeks. But there was a girl.
That's still something I want to hear.
Oh, yeah. There was a girl who I think just used images of the porn star. I think she went by Busty Faith or something like that. She was, like, just a British girl with huge knockers.
And even subtle about it.
No, just Busty was in the name. Yeah.
She was a fan fiction writer, she would call her vagina like the Musty Bog or something.
She was like, look, my real name is Sabrina or some crap. And we talked for a few weeks via some site, the Dilly, like a MySpace precursor. And she had like, I guess she like photoshopped at one point. You remember how Michelle Obama back in the day, like, held a sign that was like, bring home our girls, and everyone photoshopped it to be like, I blew 40 dicks or whatever the hell. So, you know, they did not fun things with it. So, in a very primitive version of that, this girl, I guess, Faith in one of her photos, like, held some sort of piece of paper, and this girl must have, like, ghetto photoshopped it, so it went like, hi, John, or something like that. And I was like, I think I'm in love with a porn star, and she likes me back. And, like, about a week later,
she's got a weird pen, it's pixelated.
Yeah. I was kind of like, I don't think this is where, because she was linking up too much with our time zones, like almost even a California time zone. And I'm like, for a Brit, you keep very weird hours, don't you, Genevieve, or whatever the hell she said her non-stage name was. And she could tell I was smoking her out and kind of just blew it off. But yeah,
if you're going to lie to strangers, like, just
do a good job.
Just do a good job if you're really going to commit to the persona. Or
she never asked for money or anything like that.
No, nothing.
She was just in it for the game of catfishing.
Just, I guess to get attention from dudes to be like, hey, if I were a buxom, gorgeous porn star.
This is what my online life would
be like. Yeah, and I'm sure it was great.
And that prevents her kids from being drowned in the tub. This is what she has. Like, that, it needs to exist. Like, these disgusting,
that's her release,
horrible things on the internet need to exist to prevent, like, for every,
pretty
like,
much.
For
psychotic
every serial
breaks.
Killer that the, like, internet does cause, it prevents, like, thousands. Like, it's like an 8,000-to-1 ratio, I think. Like,
no, you're completely right. Most people don't get radicalized. They are just able to, like, DM Instagram girls and be like, I want to sniff your socks, and then and then go to sleep next to their wife.
And they have, like, Adobe CS3 is free, so they can just Photoshop it themselves now. Like,
I know nothing. That is the most old manny I am about anything. Like, what? I have zero Photoshop skills. Like, people do the most basic stuff on Photoshop, and I'm like, what wizardry do you possess? It's pathetic.
An opacity tab.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that. It's just something I needed to get off my chest. Guys, anything you want to toss out there? Any fat moments? We had a lot. I mean, your benefit show. Talk about your benefit show.
Talk about your benefit show.
Yeah, plug it. Coming in, I heard a young comic by the name of Patton Oswalt opened the event.
Yes. If you're listeners, the people that you went to high school with, want to go to the GoFundMe page of Jason Saenz, Saenz.
Thank you for spelling that. I was going to be like, dude, they're just going to put in science like the class.
He's a local guy, Mason grad, graduated from Robinson and Burke, Virginia. But so we had a whole bunch of comics, stand-up, improv, and sketch at Washington Improv Theater and at... What?
With the finale of Data taking a shit, right?
Right. And And Patton Oswalt fell into our lap around Friday morning, about 4 days before the show. We had 35 tickets sold, and I had no idea, like, if we were going to have to, if I was going to have to make a phone call to, like, his aunt, who is kind of coordinating all the fundraising mm-hmm. efforts. So I was going to be like, yeah, we did our best. We had 50 people,
yeah,
you know, come in. But
how many people were in that venue at Source? Like, what
I think it seats 120 at least.
Was it? Okay.
I think, yeah, possibly more. They oversold the show. Yeah, Patton Oswalt has been in the, well, I guess he and Jason knew each other in L.A., and he was involved in spearheading, like, a Twitter fundraising GoFundMe effort early on, right after his accident. Jason fell through a skylight with another girl in L.A. I don't know what they were doing.
I hope they were, like, pounding it on the roof or something. Like,
I yeah, have no idea. They could have been shooting something. You know, I have no idea, but she was fine, and he was not.
I thought if I were in that scenario, like, how quickly I would try to use her to break my fall.
Oh.
just like, stands in the fire.
I have no idea. Like, even the, was it 10 feet? I don't know, 15 feet? I have no Jeez. Idea.
Oh, it happens in a blink. One time I was at a party, and I was trying to, like, deal weed. It was high school. And I was trying to deal weed in the woods behind the party to all the kids. It was the Thomas Jefferson, the magnet school that I dropped out of. And then I was at their party senior year dealing weed, because that's what happens when you drop out of TJ. And I must have stepped, like, in a pond, like a koi pond or something, like a man-made pond that had, like, a grated plastic side to it. And I mean, like, that just instantly, blink of an eye, I'm walking, talking. Suddenly, I'm looking up at the tops of trees. I'm soaked in ice water, and I'm like, what happened? Oh, and wow. It takes you about 2-3 seconds just to get your bearings. It's so instantaneous.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, Patton is from this area.
Mm-hmm.
He was doing shows in North Carolina and wanted to get on the show. I got texts from the producer on that Friday, and by, I don't know, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm talking to him on the phone, and he's like,
Did you make him do the Rat Boys?
No, I was trying to be as, like, cool as possible.
And hey, just, person is hey, just the person yeah. like me and not awesome.
I was like, yeah, of course you can do the show. Like,
yeah.
And he was really friendly. He was like, okay, thanks. Thanks for having me. Like,
you have a tape you could send me? Just
he actually opened the show. I think I was telling you last night, we had some issues with the tech there. And so we had to drop what we were going to do to open the show. And Pete Bergen, who was helping me with the show, he's like, well, should we just ask Patton? Because he had a hard out at 9 o'clock to go live tweet the show Happy on Sci-Fi, which he does the voice for.
Yeah, so he's like a cartoon unicorn. I watched season one on Netflix.
So he wanted to get home for that, and then he opened the show. I don't know when's the last time he opened a show, but he did about 25 minutes. And
that's good. Take him down a peg or two.
Right. I mean, you
whatever.
Were
who the
I
hell wants to go after? Come
right.
on.
Oh, it was, yeah. I mean, like, people did well, but you're still just like, hey, you know who I saw before you? Patton.
Right. I was curious as to what people that had obviously come to see him, because that Friday we had 35 tickets sold. And contractually, I not say that Patton was going to do the show until midnight Monday morning, and I announced it at like 12:15 Monday morning, and by 9 a.m. Monday we were sold out.
Yeah.
So, and there was what, people lined up around the block to get in, and
I felt really bad. I didn't know Jason at all, but I was like, all right, I'm going to see if I'm in the city. I want to be there to support Michael, because I know this is his thing. And it was Sunday night. You know, I stay up watching all my HBO crap, so I'd probably just watch the first episode of Barry or something. And you posted, you're going to look at me and you're like, oh, this guy's a giant piece of human shit.
Oh,
just tell me. So you posted that, and I just emailed like 8 or 9 of us. And I was like, all right, dudes, like, we should have done this earlier, but now Patton Oswalt's going to be there. So, like, we literally got to. and a few of us didn't check our emails till later, and it was already sold out by like noon, like you said. And
I don't, you know, we all have lives, and there are so many people all the time now on social media that are raising money. Like every day, someone has a fundraiser for their birthday, and so
isn't that the worst?
I know, right?
Isn't that the worst?
I will donate. It's funny. I'll donate to some that I don't know somehow move me, but you know. Yeah, it's tough. I don't blame anyone for all of a sudden being
I think I was in D.C. like three other nights that week. Otherwise, I would have been more inclined. But I was just like, ugh, another death march of God damn it.
And that was that day of traffic was probably some of the worst it's been.
Oh, it was amazingly piss poor, yeah. But then I got some free parking, and that made it all worthwhile.
But yeah, it was a good show. I don't know how much money we raised. I have kind of just let that the theater and the Jason's aunt deal with that. And
that sounds like a band that had a hit in '98.
As of the taping of the show, the GoFundMe has raised almost $197,000.
Okay,
so
it was $192,000 last time I checked. So that's between,
and that's not counting the show money. Like, that's just a GoFundMe, So hopefully the show's
You know what? I think GoFundMe takes, like, 8%. And I
they put it out on
I don't think it's that high.
Well, that's what they were... That's what I... The information I got from his aunt. She was saying that the theater could send her the money. Though, like, not to piss on GoFundMe. Because they said that GoFundMe actually came and saw Jason at Cedars-Sinai. Because, like, his campaign is like one of the tops they've, I think, maybe ever had. And so they've done a lot for him. But, you know, when you are raising money and, you know, still like for this fundraiser, I don't know, 100, 150 tickets sold at $25 a pop. And then.
Don't make me do my.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying it's not like. That's the one thing I kept having to remind myself is, like, I had to temper my expectations. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this isn't going to be, you know, you feel like you're just, you're trying to do as much as you can to get as much money raised. But in the end, it's like, the guy's paralyzed from the waist down. He's going to need a lot of money for a long time. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't even want to think about it, dude. That's just, that's so life-altering, the amount, like you were saying, of cash. And just... I want to just say, like, the cruel joke of what happened. He was going to be insured in, like, 2 weeks or something. I mean, like, what the fuck?
He got a job, I think, writing on a show. And that was the other thing, too, that's just sad, is that he moved from D.C. to New York to L.A., and he was chasing his comedy dream. And, you know, this happens.
Yeah.
You know? And he makes – I don't even want to go into, like – what he's had to deal with, the reality of it all. But I do know that he is, cause he used to come by my place the last 5 years. Every Christmas he would come home and visit family, and we'd catch up for about 3 to 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
We'd have a lot of deep discussions, and you'd talk about, you know, the sacrifices that you've made and the things that you put off. And, you know, he had, I think, ended a relationship, and I had just had a kid, and both of us, you know, there's a side of him that, you know, is kind of wanted a relationship and that kind of life, and then there's me that was like, ah, gosh, I wish I could be doing what you're doing, and it's, mm-hmm. you know, it's...
grass is always greener.
Right, yeah. Exactly. So I can only imagine, you know, just, yeah, it's put all his chips in, and now he's having to deal with this, you know.
It's just BS that we don't have a system where we cover this kind of thing as a society.
Right.
I don't know.
No, Patton closed with that.
Put that out there. Okay, good, because it's just, it's obvious that we should try to help people as much as possible on medical stuff. I don't know. It is ridiculous that he simply did not qualify for health insurance, and that's part of the problem.
I've given serious thought to going to Canada just for that, just because people, you know, I've socked away a lot. I live like this, talking about sacrifices. I live like a hermit with my damn mom, so I can just be like financially free. And I'm like, what could go wrong medically? Like, especially in light of this. And you just think, you're like, I could just be like felted by one shit stroke of luck. That's so effed up. Yeah. Like, what the, like a lifetime of financial prudence.
But I mean, you want to talk about the entertainment industry up there? Yeah, like it is hard to get health insurance if you're on Broadway. You know, just anybody who's in the performing arts in this country. It sucks. Mm-hmm. If you're Canadian and you're doing it, you're covered.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about that. You can be an artist who...
No wonder Mike Myles smiles.
Well, that's what's the guy, the filmmaker? He's a horror guy out of Canada.
Cronenberg?
Was it? Yes.
Cronenberg, okay.
His movie, it's got a weird...
Videodrome?
No, it's one of his first ones. It's about, there's like an infection in an apartment complex.
I know what you're talking about. It's on the fly, but it's like, I know what you're talking about.
The Brood. No, not the Brood.
The Brood.
The Brood.
Yes.
Okay.
That movie, I remember watching it and just being kind of fascinated and kind of going through this horror binge and reading about Cronenberg. And it was funded through the state of like the country of Canada, like he got some kind
of like an arts grant.
They have a huge. That's why a lot of like TV shows film up there because you can get way more off of taxes. It's cheaper. You don't get any less quality.
Like, no, I
it was like a state. That's why like the funded horror movie.
The X-Files was like they're like we're in Kansas with these redwoods. I guess
A lot of those like corpse paint Norwegian death metal acts are just like on the state dole. Like that's just
that's why like the death metal of like Norway is just funny because like they're rebelling against something. I'm like, you are financially fine. You have public housing. So if you break your leg, you're fine. You have nothing to rebel against, which is kind of why they think it took such a left turn.
Oh, and some of my darker moments back when I got started in comedy and trying to be an artist, and I had a whole, like, this was all, you know, a conspiracy to suppress, you know, freedom of expression and free speech is to make it difficult on the artist in the United States. And I mean, some of it makes sense. Some of it, you know, it's just sour grapes, but it is, I don't know. Like for me, after a while, it's like, I can't just work, the hustle. It's too much as far as like trying to keep a job and that gives you any kind of benefits, and especially if you don't want to move to like one of the big cities.
I mean, it's kind of a form of slavery. Just putting that out there, so you get your health care, making sure that you're a big part of the economy and contributing to
it's
a job you
awful.
Probably hate.
Like I went to, like I got a film degree, and like I work in editing now.
Oh, you
like,
got what you deserve then.
But I'm also type 1 diabetic, so like I couldn't do the whole like do the boho style, just like travel, go to Atlanta, couch surf. I'm like, my medication needs like like in the fridge. Like I can't just not take a pill a day and just kind of hope it goes out. Like I need this stuff every single day, every time I eat. Or, like, I am actively dead in a week if I don't have what my medication
is. I knew that about you, I would never give you a raise.
Would you just throw my medicine on the top shelf so I can't reach it?
I would work you like
but,
a dog.
Like, it's just frustrating.
Like, what are you going to do, Hannah? Die?
Like, I think people need to think about just that health and long term, and even if not for themselves, like, you know, like family and yada yada. And it's just very frustrating when people say, like, oh, you just got to, like, be free, live out, go to LA, couch surf. I'm like, I can't. That's not
that's
reality.
All that's predicated upon living.
Yeah, it's like I can't just like that's why like after school like I worked to get jobs that like I had insurance because that was not an option on the table. So like actual thanks Obama because he pushed the how long you can be in your parents' insurance.
Mm-hmm.
I was on there within the year that I had to get off before I got my own. So like that actual thanks Obama.
My mom spent several thousand dollars keeping my brother and I on our insurances because that wasn't around when we were kids.
It's just such a pain. And
she would have spent it on QVC, but still, that's.
I will say that I got a job working at Starbucks in DC when I was first moved there, and I could only take it for like 7 months, but you get health insurance like day one,
really,
and then I quit working there.
Greek coffee day two.
I quit working there after 7 months, and I got Cobra for the next 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
Like full, like, and my plan was phenomenal, and I paid, I think this would have been 2007 or 8.
Yes.
You know, I was paying close to $200 a month for, you know,
this. Cobra's a lot more now.
I went on Cobra at the same time, 07, 08-ish. And in the span of 18 months, my Cobra went from 330 to 470.
Wow.
It's Cobra's fun because when I left my last job, like they're like, oh, do you want to be on Cobra for like a month? Because I changed jobs near the end of the year. So my new job would be like, hey, because we're the time frame, you're not going to get insurance until like mid-January. So do you want Cobra for the 4 weeks before? And I'm like, sure. And I get invited to go snowboarding. And I'm like, sure. And then I'm there. I'm like, oh, no. This is a gamble.
I'm in trouble.
I had the same thing happen to me. This was a long time ago. But I went skiing with some friends of mine. And the one guy was, like, tearing it up. And my buddy mentioned it. And he was like, oh, you know, I just got health insurance. And I'm on the lift with him. And I just think to myself, oh my God, I don't have health insurance.
Because it's always like that moment. Like, I don't go snowboarding frequently. Like, this was a family trip too. So I'm like, la da da, how are our legs feeling today? We're going to stretch and drink milk and assume that helps us.
I think every friend I know that has gone snowboarding with some regularity is like very damaged from it. Not psychologically, like dislocated shoulders, cracked collarbones, like very.
You're fighting gravity on a very unstable, like,
just
course.
Not anything I have an interest in doing. We got to get out of here, actually. Yeah. But did you want to? I'm going to promote the podcast in a day or two. And, you know, you can follow me at Papa's Basement on Twitter. And I will obviously link to the GoFundMe for Jason.
Sure.
And all that stuff. But is there any link you want to give out? Anything, anyone, at Twitter handles, do whatever.
Just the link that Dada was going to drop in my mouth.
I like referring to it as link.
This Saturday at the Unified Scene Theater, I'll be performing with Sean Westfall. And
oh, you're doing Shawn Michaels this?
This Saturday.
Okay.
I guess 8 o'clock. You know what? Is it the 13th?
So today's the 10th, so 11, 12, 13, yes.
Yeah, you know what, we're going to be in a show, actually it's going to be Sean and I, but we're going to have one more person with us, Rich Nyman, who's a great comic and great guy.
And well, good.
Yeah, everything will be just great.
Great, thanks for inviting me!
You're all invited.
Okay. Hannah, Howard, anything you guys want to say?
I'll just wrap this up, I got to pee.
Okay. All right.
Before they kick us out of here, we got 10 minutes.
Is it going to take you 10 minutes? Is it therapy?
He's got a big prostate. It's as big as his heart.
I'm on Instagram. I don't do anything. I'm H_DUBS and then the number 8 for H dubs. I do nothing.
All right. We're going to leave on that one. Some honesty for once. Till the next one, we are out of here.
We're home free. School's out, baby.
Good show.
Nothing to talk about, nothing to critique. Great show, great guest tomorrow. You go home, have a glass of wine, whack off. I'll see you tomorrow.
That's the post-show critique?
Yeah, you're the best.
It's my time to go. I successfully burned all my bridges. Nobody loves me, and I don't love nobody.
Then he said penis.
Yeah. Then he said masturbation.
Then he said vagina. That was cool.
Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. It's a mighty hard climb.